I'm doing a lesson that really is not yet scripture. There will be scripture involved. It's an introduction to a book that I think can have a great impact on a church. It's the first book in what are referred to often as the pastoral epistles. That would be 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And what we have in this introduction is we are being told through various verses in Scripture, as we will find, not only in Timothy, but in Acts, in Romans, even in Hebrews, believe it or not, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, instances where Paul the Apostle took Timothy aside and groomed him to be a leader at a difficult time in the history of the early church, where early on already false teachers had infiltrated churches, leading churches astray regarding what the apostles had been taught by Christ, and in Paul's case, what Paul received from Christ on the road to Damascus and the time that occurred thereafter, where Paul became aware of exactly whom and what he had been persecuting. Paul was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was taught by very intelligent men. I can't say the man's name. Gamaliel. That was some professor to have if you were of the Jewish faith. And Paul, he got the message. You don't go blind and hear things that other people don't hear without getting the message. God doesn't operate like that at present, or so we think. There's no indication that he does, not to my knowledge. I could be corrected, but I haven't heard of that. But what I'd like to call your attention to is we must remember that Timothy is a young man. He's going to be a young minister, but he doesn't quite know it yet, I don't think, early on. But he's young in age and experience. I would describe the book of 1 Timothy as Paul's expression of a term I've come up with, graduation anxiety. Because of the way Paul addresses Timothy in the epistle. Graduation day, teacher and parental anxiety, we're all old enough to have undergone that with our families. Paul's feeling that for Timothy. He has schooled Timothy for years. He considers Timothy a true son in the faith, expressing great affection for Timothy. We find in Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, "To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." That's affection. Paul charges again and again that Timothy must remain faithful to Paul's teaching. And again, I say, remember, Paul is a Hebrew of Hebrew. He's got knowledge. He's got background to give to Timothy. Well, Timothy's got a little bit of background. We'll find out later if we get to it. But as well, his mother and grandmother were godly Jewish women, and he learned the scriptures from them as a young child. Paul was the persecutor unto death of the church, as I've already mentioned, the only apostle to receive direct revelation from Christ himself on the road to Damascus, totally committed to grace alone by faith alone in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul's concluding heartfelt cry of O Timothy comes from chapter 6, the final chapter in the book. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is called false knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. That's a warning to Timothy at the end of the chapter. Paul taught Timothy while traveling and visiting and ministering over his years on his two missionary journeys. Timothy assisted Paul, acting as Paul's liaison to many early churches. Paul taught Timothy the essentials of the Christian faith, and Paul modeled Christian leadership to Timothy everywhere they went. Timothy was there to observe and take in and understand what Paul was about, how he acted, what situations required what type of responses. This was a great time for both Paul and Timothy, and they became very fond of one another. Paul's graduation present to Timothy was leading the church at Ephesus. Ministry in the real world began there for Timothy. Paul writes Timothy from Macedonia to encourage his son in the faith. And Timothy has his commission from his training officer, the Apostle Paul. Who is the author of Timothy? That's up for debate, as if you were living back in the early 1800s. However, before that, we have several early church fathers that were convinced that Paul was the author. Those men would have been Clement of Rome. Polycarp accepted the epistle as from Paul. Others who also concurred were Irenaeus, Tertullian, and Clement of Alexandria. These were many hundreds of years before what I'm fixing to talk about. However, in those early 1800s, of which I spoke, scholars questioned Paul's authorship. I won't go into all of them or refute any of them tonight, because I don't think we have time. But they described the book of Timothy as pious forgeries by a second century author, not a first century author, which Paul was. Probably about 64 A.D. is when he is, 62, 64 A.D. I think is when he wrote 1 Timothy. All four major criticisms that these scholars gave have been debunked, and they could be offered for study on request if you're interested. I could have that for you. But briefly, 1 Timothy is believed to be written shortly after Paul's release from his first Roman imprisonment, which dates to about A.D. 62, while he was in Macedonia, after he had been released from prison. Who was Timothy? Timothy was native to Lystra, Phrygia. He was a Gentile Jew. His father, as I mentioned, was Greek. And his mother and grandmother were godly Jewish women. Their names were Eunice as his mother, and Lois was his grandmother. Timothy was learned in the Hebrew Scriptures from childhood trainings of his mother and grandmother. Timothy was converted during Paul's first missionary journey. If you'll find Acts 14, we'll read verses 6 and 19. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. Say it, Carl. Lycaonia. And to the surrounding region. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I'm not sure I got the right verse there. Well, I may have garbled this one. Okay. Verse 9. Yes. No, that's not what I was after there. I apologize. but Timothy was converted during Paul's first missionary journey. I have also Acts 16. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that Timothy's father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. Church leadership in 1 and 2 Timothy laid hands on Timothy to prepare him for ministry. We find that in 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And in 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of hands. Their travels together included Philippi and Thessalonica, Paul and Silas and Timothy, evangelizing all that they encountered. Timothy was retained to Thessalonica at one point, but then he proceeds to Berea. And we have that in Acts 17:10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. I think what appears to me at this point is a flow that exposes how Paul trained Timothy. It's a gradual flow where he takes a young man, tagging along, if you will, and it exposes him to things that are going to be helpful to Timothy in the future. That's not unlike the churches are today. We're in need of leadership. We should do the same thing with our young men and those of us who have ended up in leadership. Sometimes I call it a sentence, but I laugh when I say that, truly do. It's a blessing, or truly it is, and you don't know it till it happens to you, till you're called to serve. And I think Timothy finds this out as well. The flow begins to show as Paul teaches, trains, mentors Timothy along gradually, and he gradually adds responsibilities. Paul in Corinth makes Timothy his liaison to the Thessalonican church. Later at Corinth, Timothy becomes Paul's liaison to the church at Corinth, there to teach believers as well. You find that in 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And I think we can also look at 16:10 in this same book. Seems a long chapter. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Acts ceases to record Timothy's travels during this period that follows what we just read. However, Timothy reappears at Ephesus, commissioned by Paul, with Erasmus to prepare the Macedonian church for Paul's coming visit. And Timothy remains in Macedonia. Do you see the flow where now Timothy's not only has been on his own for a while, but now it's at a different spot. So Paul is taking confidence in Timothy. But Timothy is learning and gaining measures that are necessary for leadership enough to where Paul's confident in doing that. Let's look to Acts chapter 19. Verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for some time. Timothy accompanies Paul to Corinth, where Paul writes the book of Romans. We find that in Romans 16:21. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. Is that right? Sosipater? I never pronounced that name. 21. Sosipater. I've never heard that name. Well, okay. Romans 16. Okay, well anyway. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. Sosipater? Okay, that sounds better anyway. Yeah. Timothy and six other precede Paul to Troas. That's in Acts 20, 4 and 5. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Thank you. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. So there's a lot of travel going on. This is the building of the church in the days and years following the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And this is how the church was built. Initially, as we've learned in studying the book of Acts with Dr. Carl, the early church was predominantly Jewish. But they're digging up in areas where there aren't just Jews. They're plowing fields and sowing seed in Gentile areas, Greek areas. And so this is what is going on. And of course, Timothy is right along for the ride, but he's sitting well in the saddle, I'll put it that way. Later, Timothy in Rome comforts Paul during his first Roman imprisonment. Sending greetings to the Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. And we find that in Colossians and Philemon and Philippians, all in first chapters and, for the most part, first verses. I won't go there because we're running short on time, but that's, if you're recording verses, you can write those down. During this imprisonment, Timothy traveled to Philippi to encourage those believers, then reported back to Paul at Rome. So there's a lot of travel going on here. If you see a map in a study Bible, you'll see what Paul was up to. He covered a lot of miles, and a lot of it was on foot, unless he had a chance to ride a ship. I suppose that's just the way he did it. Upon Paul's release from his first imprisonment, they traveled to Ephesus, where Timothy stayed to confront false teaching. Infiltrators that had shown up while Paul went on to Macedonia. So Paul trusted Timothy enough with bearing the gospel message and that which he was taught by Paul, and that all the messages that the apostles carried, to deal with these infiltrators, these false teachers. At some point, this ends up being Gnostics as a threat, but early on, there was a lot of other discordance with, did Christ really rise from the dead? Was he really buried? You know, stuff like that. But all of which witnesses have debunked, and it's recorded in Scripture. Paul went on to Macedonia, where Paul did write 1 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul writes 2 Timothy during his second Roman imprisonment, pleading for Timothy to come quickly. Likely this was Paul's last letter before his death. As you know, Paul was crucified upside down. And it's not known whether Timothy actually arrived in time, even though Paul asked him to come quickly. I could find no evidence of it, but my study could be considered limiting. If Timothy had arrived in time, he would have been a great comfort for Paul. As I said, Paul considered him his true son. And then, of course, Paul was executed, as I described. That we find in 2 Timothy 4:11 and 21. What is the central theme of 1 Timothy? You can find that in 1 Timothy 3:15. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The book of Timothy is how we should conduct ourselves in church, how leadership should act, how the congregation should be. There is a give and take between the two groups in the leadership of the church and decisions that are to be made that all congregations must make. And so this is what Paul got across as an by way of introduction, without getting into the details. This is what the book of Timothy is about and what we've got in store for us as we study it. The church is God's primary vehicle for accomplishments of his work on the earth. We'll look right quickly at Matthew 16. Go to verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. The church is God's primary vehicle, is what we just read there in Matthew. In Hebrews 10, we find that God ordains that believers be involved in working out His will in local assemblies worldwide. That's our duty. It's our faith. It's what God expects of us, of each of us. Each of us really and truly, if you study the book of Timothy, each of us is a Timothy. And we need to keep that in mind about ourselves when we get tired or when we get discouraged. I'm sure that happened to them, but the focus is on Christ. If you don't focus on the right things, those things will overcome you. That's what these young men down at Alert are learning to do. What do I focus on to be successful? What do I focus on for my faith? What do I focus on that I can be effective and productive and a fruit bearer? If you focus on the right things, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, everyone benefits. There may be some that need some bringing up and bringing along, but that's part of life. That's part of the church's life. The specifics given in the book of Timothy are developing and recognizing godly leadership and avoiding false doctrines. That's a big theme in the book of Timothy. Paul insists that Christian maturity is to be expected of leadership and to be developed in all believers. Nobody gets off free. You don't have to. It's your call. It's your choice. But it needs to be there. The program needs to be there. Paul gives Timothy extremely practical advice for leading a church where Timothy faced real problems, even hardships, in local church ministry. We've had them. 1 Timothy offers us all today many valuable insights to ministry and leadership. And I've got verses to go with these, but I know we're sure it's already 7 o'clock. And I'm not going to get to finish. So I'm going to try to reintroduce this Sunday morning for Sunday school. This was a trial run for me, seeing how far I could get. Your guinea pigs is what I'm saying without really, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But the main thing you've got to keep in mind that Timothy was a young man. He was being groomed to be a minister. We all are Timothys. We need to look at Timothy and how he led the church at Ephesus and everywhere else he went with Paul. Are there any questions? If not, suppose it's choir time. I'll close this in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, forgive us if we too briefly scurried over some areas, but it was an introduction. I pray that as we get into the book, that I'll be able to slow down as my turn appears for lesson giving, and that we will look into the details that really counted for Timothy and that brought him into direct and fruitful service for your purposes, your beloved church, and those who believe. We thank you for your gospel of grace. We thank you for the Christ that gives it to us, your Son. crucified, shedding blood on the cross at Calvary. And that for all who by faith believe that He did not stay buried, He rose again from the dead. And that the account of the witnesses that are born in the Scriptures to that effect, we who have not seen are even more blessed than those who were there at that time. For we have believed without seeing. We thank You that You open our eyes and our ears to what can be seen in Your Word. We thank You for that blessing, that spiritual gift that You give when we believe is amazing, totally amazing. Lord, we just pray that You bless this time for the choir as they prepare for the Christmas cantata. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.